The epistle for the third Mass of Christmas Day is taken from that of St. Paul to the Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, last of all in these days hath spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the figure of his substance, and holding all things by the word of his power, making purgation of sins, sitteth on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels hath he said at any time, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God adore him. And to the angels indeed he saith, He that maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of justice is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved justice and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And Thou in the beginning, O Lord, didst found the earth, and the works of thy hands are the heavens. They shall perish, but thou shalt continue, and they shall all grow old as a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the selfsame, and thy years shall not fail. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness to give testimony of the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but was to give testimony of the light. That was the true light which enlighteneth every man that cometh into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them he gave power to be made the sons of God, to them that believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, as it were the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Ave Maria Purissima. So while you were sleeping, we've celebrated two Masses already. I know some of you were at the beautiful midnight Mass we had last night by candlelight, and we had the Mass at dawn this morning as the sun began to rise. And now we arrive at the third Mass, the Mass of Day. The three different Masses with different liturgical texts and themes. Three Masses to commemorate the three births of our Lord. What three births am I referring to? Well, last night at midnight, we contemplated his birth according to the flesh, according to our human nature. That God, whom the heavens cannot contain, became man in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and was born in Bethlehem. It is though it's not a dogma of faith, nevertheless, St. John Chrysostom, whom the abbot Dom, servant of God, Dom Prosper Guéranger, cites in his liturgical year, that he alludes to reasons why Christ was born on December 25th, which was the day that the Roman Church has always held this feast. And he mentions that it was the Roman Church which would have had access and knowledge of the Roman census, which was taken at the time when our Lord was born. So having access to the archives, as well as the knowledge that we have from the Old Testament, where it prescribes in what month the priest was to offer incense before our Lord. So we can determine then when Zacharias would have offered incense, and that his wife Elizabeth conceived, and 6 months later the Blessed Virgin Mary, corresponds to December 25th. And so, we should note that this is by divine providence. On June 24th, we contemplated the feast of St. John the Baptist, whom God sent as a forerunner, the precursor to our Lord. His motto that he announced was, I must decrease so that he may increase. And that's what we've been practicing for this whole time of Advent, doing penance, to be more humble, to make a space so as to receive our Lord, that we might decrease in our self-love and increase in our love of God. And from that time, the 24th of June, you notice that the light of the world grew shorter. From the summer solstice onwards, the days get shorter, there's less and less light, as we've noticed, right, in this last month of December, particularly. And now on December 24th, with the winter solstice, the days begin to grow longer. So the whole heavens give testimony that Christ, the light of the world, has been born amongst us, that he must increase from day unto day. And so that leads us to the Mass at dawn. The Mass at dawn, the Lux Fulgedit, as the Introit says, is the Mass of the Aurora, when we contemplate the birth of Christ according to grace in our souls, his birth in the mystical body. We heard of the shepherds who came running to adore Christ. They believed in him, and they left praising God. And the Gospel ends at the Mass of dawn that the Blessed Virgin Mary kept all of these things, pondering them in her heart. So that Christ, and as St. Augustine exclaimed, that Our Lady is more blessed for having conceived our Lord in her soul first. When our Lord says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Yea, rather, he says, it's not to denigrate the honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but rather to highlight her true honor, that she had already conceived him in her heart by being the faithful spouse of God, always meditating on his word day and night, and that this word then became incarnate in her, she being thus the worthy mother of God. And so we contemplated in that second Mass the moral that Christ comes down from heaven so as to be born in our hearts. It would be very sad to attend the Christmas Mass only to kiss the statue of our Lord, but not to receive him, as he truly is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion. That's what he longs. He longs to be received by men. He longs to be loved by us. He wants us to give him the inn of our soul. And so we contemplated too in that Mass that we had a peculiar commemoration of a saint, which we hardly ever have. We basically never have in the great solemnities. But we commemorated the feast of Saint Anastasia, as she was martyred on Christmas Day. She was a mother, persecuted and ridiculed by her pagan husband, and she was left a widow with more time to dedicate to the service of the church when she was accused of being a follower of Christ and tortured and killed for the faith on Christmas Day. And her name in Greek means resurrection. And so we see in that dawn Mass, the church reminds us that Christ comes on a mission. He assumes passible human nature, nature which is capable of suffering and dying, so as to immolate it and offer it in love for man. As St. Augustine was one to say, that God became man so that man might become God, that is, by participation. So we hear in the matins of this great feast, too, of St. Leo the Great, O Christian, recognize your dignity. You become a partaker of the divine nature. And do not return to your depraved way of life. So ever go conscious of our dignity, that we now are the light of the world. We are called to be Christ, present in the world. And lastly, this leads us to this third Mass. What are we contemplating here? What birth of our Lord? We contemplate his birth according to human nature, his birth according to grace, and now his birth according to his divinity, his eternal birth. As we say in the Creed, genitum non factum, begotten, not made, consubstantial, the same substance of the Father, through whom all things were made. So we contemplate that he's born eternally in the bosom of his Father. And we note then that this, in the end, forms a great cycle. As some say that St. Thomas Aquinas even structures his whole Summa Theologica, this exitus and reditus, this coming forth from God, creation. And then through Christ and the Incarnation, man's return to God. And that's what we contemplate in this last gospel, the beginning of St. John, the eagle, who begins his gospel at the soaring at the heights of the divinity, revealing the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, that the Word was with God and was God. And he ends, of course, saying that we have seen this the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We contemplate that what we receive today in Holy Communion, receiving our blessed Lord, to receive him, the saints say it's as if we were before the beatific vision, but with a veil before our eyes. But we truly possess him, as we will possess him in heaven, by charity. We only lack the vision of that which we already possess. And so it should be a yearning, and we should note what he says too. We heard in the Dawn Mass that it was not according to the works, our works, that we merited the incarnation, but according to his mercy. And what do we hear today from St. John? It's not even of the will of man to believe, for nobody can say that Jesus is Lord save by the grace of the Holy Ghost. So we contemplate first this gift that we have received. What does St. John say? That the love of God consists not in that we have loved him, but that he first loved us while we were sinners, giving himself as a ransom for our salvation. So we contemplate this Christmas gift as the children are so eager. I think the record I heard this morning was 4 o'clock. Some of the kids were up at 4 o'clock in the morning, ready to open their presents. Well, today we receive the gift of God himself. And we pray that this gift that we receive should grow to the point where that veil is lifted. And we see him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, face to face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.